Well, good morning and welcome. It is the Prayer Closet. It's that half hour we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, and concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, 419-389-0893. 419-389-0893 is our number to call. You can email or text to prayer@yeshome.com. As you have a need today, we want to lift it up before the Lord. We want to pray for you. We want to bear that burden together. We're not to walk these things alone, but we can bear these burdens together. So we want to join with you in prayer and in lifting each other up. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And Lord, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we have to come before you. And thank you that we can bring every need before you, every request, every concern, every care into your hand. And know that you are there to hear us, to listen to us, to help us, to strengthen us. And so we celebrate you this day. We praise you, Lord, that you are so good and gracious to us that we can walk in your power and in your might, knowing that you are ready to meet our every need, that you are a good and gracious Father who gives us good things from your right hand. So we praise you, we celebrate you, we glorify your name in this day, and pray that you would be glorified, and ask this in your name. Amen. Once again, if you have prayer requests, 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And before we get into our prayer requests, we always like to get into the Word of God to get our day started right. And today we're going to be continuing through Philippians, and we're going to be picking it up in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Paul writes this, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." This is kind of a fairly well-known verse, although I think often sometimes a misinterpreted verse. Because Paul here advises us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And this is a wise piece of advice that I think is probably underutilized or undertaken, underfollowed, I don't know, whatever the word, in our culture today. We don't often think about working out our salvation with fear and trembling, but I think Paul is reminding us of a great truth that we do need to take seriously. And that is that our salvation comes to us not as something earned or deserved, but as a gift and a grace of God. Now, let's be, first of all, clear on what Paul is saying. He is not saying that we work for our salvation with fear and trembling. He's not saying that with fear and trembling, we got to work it out and see and hope that if we work hard enough, we'll get saved. He's not advocating a work salvation here. When he says work out, he's talking about something that we already possess. He says work out your salvation. You already possess that salvation. Now it's just a matter of working it out in our lives. Think of it as if he said live out your salvation with fear and trembling. I mean, that's the idea behind this. He's that now that we have possessed, come into possession of this salvation, we need to live out our lives, work out our lives in light of that salvation, that becomes the basis and the bedrock for everything that we do. It forms and shapes our life. It becomes the cornerstone, the foundation of our life. And all of our lives are worked out and lived out on the basis of this salvation that we possess. It changes everything. It becomes the point of reference for everything that we do. And that we're then to work out our lives in light of this salvation and in accordance with this salvation that God has granted and graced us with. This is the call. This is what he has called us to do. And I think it's an important reminder to us, not just that we're to work it out, but how we're to work it out with fear and trembling. Now, that may seem odd at first. We say, well, we have this wonderful salvation. It's a wonderful thing. Our salvation is a joyful thing. It's a wonderful gift. Why would we need fear and trembling when we consider it? And I think it's because we work out our salvation in the realization that we possess something that is not intrinsically ours or deserved or right, but rather a gift to us. Salvation belongs to God, and God graciously gifts it to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. We have no right to it. We have no claim to it. See, in our culture today, we have rights, right? We have certain political rights. We're used to dealing with rights. When we have a right to something, that something is intrinsically yours. It belongs to you. And no one can deprive you of that thing. If they do, they're doing something wrong. So in America, we have the right to free speech, right? You have the right to free expression. You have the right to freely express your ideas. And if someone tries to shut you down or keep you from speaking or imprison you for the things that you say, they're denying you of something that is intrinsically yours. It's like they're robbing you of something. That's why we have a constitution. Our constitution enumerates the rights that we have Our founding documents enumerate that there are certain inalienable rights, inalienable meaning that they belong to us, endowed by our Creator, given to us by God, that no one can take away, no man can take away. And what the Constitution does is the Constitution actually lays out limitations on government. It prevents the government from taking these rights. It begins with this assumption that we have intrinsic rights that belong to every individual, and that the government cannot take away those rights and cannot infringe upon those rights. And so what the Constitution does is it limits the power of government to infringe on the individual liberty and rights of the individual. You cannot infringe on these rights, and if they do, they need to meet a certain criteria in order to do so. So, for example, we used our example of free speech. We have a right to that. I have a right to expect that I can go out into the public square and air my ideas without the government coming in and throwing me into prison. Now, that doesn't mean other people have to listen to me or pay attention to those ideas or broadcast those ideas, but I should be able to do that freely without fear of being tortured, imprisoned, denied liberty, whatever. But there are exceptions to that. Most common being libel, slander, you know, yelling fire in a public theater. You know, you can't knowingly falsely say things about people and spread slanderous lies about people and harm them because you're damaging them. You're infringing on their rights then. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater and cause a panic when there's no fire and put others in danger. So there are certain limitations to that, but they're very specific and they're spelled out. But for the most part, I have that right to go. And because I have that right, I have that expectation. If someone takes that away from me, they are harming me. They're doing wrong. It's mine. It belongs to me. But that's not the case with our salvation. I don't have any right to it. I don't have any right to salvation. I don't have any claim to it. In fact, I have given up any claim that I have to salvation. When we sin, we give up any claim or any right to be saved by God, to enter into His presence. We have thrown any claim away with our sin. In fact, I'm disqualified from that, from being in God's presence and living with Him. But God, in His mercy and in His grace, comes to us and He gives us salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus had a claim to salvation, right? Death had no hold on Him because Jesus was sinless. So when Jesus goes to the cross and pays the penalty for our sin, He is the perfect sacrifice who can perfectly atone for our sin, and He has the right to be the Son of God. What He does is He graciously grants that gift to us. Our salvation has been gifted to us. It is something we possess, but we possess it because it was given to us. We didn't purchase it, we didn't pay for it, and we have no right to it. It's a privilege. And so Paul writes, you're to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, in remembering that you don't deserve this. God is under no obligation to save you. It's only by His grace and His mercy that He has done so. Now, God has given us certain promises, and we know God never goes back on His word, and so we can trust in those promises. I'm not saying that we have to, you know, live moment by moment going, oh, am I going to lose my salvation? No, because He's given us promises. But Paul's writing here to remind us what those promises are based on. They're not based on us. They're based on the gracious goodness of God. And so it is with fear and trembling, recognizing that what I deserved was punishment and eternal damnation for my sin against God. What I received was a gracious gift of invitation, a gracious gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. So I'm not getting what I deserve. I'm getting what I don't deserve. And let us never forget that the salvation we have is nothing that we earned. It's not based on us. It's based on the work of Jesus Christ and Him alone. And therefore, we humbly, and we talked about this yesterday, you know, walking humbly with the Lord and the humility that Jesus showed and how we're to have the same kind of humility. Our salvation should always be held in the greatest of humility because none of us deserves it. There's no room for self-righteousness. There's no room for self-aggrandizement. We are all the worst of sinners who have received an incredible gift we did not deserve. And in light of that, we work out our salvation with that fear and trembling, knowing what we deserved is so much different from what we received. And that should put fear and trembling in our hearts. That we should never take our salvation for granted or abuse it or treat it as an excuse for sin or you know, living loosely with the Lord, living in cheap grace, but that with fear and trembling, recognizing what we deserved before a holy and a mighty God as an unholy people and what we receive from Him is this awesome act of grace and love and mercy, that we work out our salvation because we must live out of this with an awe-filled respect for what God has done with us, never losing sight of that, but with fear and trembling, moving forward in his grace. With great joy, right? The Philippians is a book of great joy. We move forward with great joy, but also that fear and trembling that reminds us how different our salvation is from what we deserved. And that should always put us in a grateful mindset toward God and living out of that gratitude and humility before him to see him glorified for what he has done for us that we certainly did not have coming. So today, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It is yours. It belongs. God has graciously granted it to you. We possess it, but not by any right of our own, but by the gracious gift of God. So let us live out that salvation in its fullness today in fear and trembling, remembering the gracious God who gave it to us. This is the Prayer Closet, 419-389-0893, or prayer@yeshome.com. Got quite a few requests in, so let's jump right into these. And I have two here, one asking for prayer for their sister, and one person asking prayer for their cousin, both of whom have, well, one has been diagnosed with breast cancer, and one has an upcoming doctor's appointment, and just prayer that she remains cancer-free. So kind of on two ends of this battle here with cancer, but we want to lift both these women up to you. Lord, we do lift up both these women to you. The first woman who has just been diagnosed with breast cancer, and Lord, we pray for her and her family. Lord, we pray against any fear or doubt or worry that or anxiety that may be creeping in. Lord, we pray that you would banish all fear from them. And let you, Lord, that your love would come upon them. We know that your word says that love drives out fear. There is no fear in love. So, Lord, we pray that you would overwhelm them with the power of your love, that you would banish all that fear and worry and anxiety. Lord, you would replace it with your peace that passes all understanding, that you would reassure and comfort them and remind them that you are at work in their lives, that you would bring healing to her, that you would deliver her from this cancer, and that, Lord, that she would be celebrating soon that she is completely cancer-free. And, Lord, we pray for this other woman who's heading back to the doctor, Lord, who has been through this cancer battle, seen your victory. Lord, we pray that you would confirm that victory once again today, and that she would indeed be cancer-free, and that there would be nothing found at all in this doctor's report. And Lord, that you, as you confirm the victory that you have brought to her today in this doctor's appointment, and that, Lord, that story would be inspiring to the other, as they would see the victory in another, and that would inspire them. And so we lift both these women into your care and into your hand and pray this in your name. Amen. Also, someone asking for prayer for their 2-year-old grandson, who for a few days now has been throwing up and unable to keep down any liquids or food. Lord, we do pray for this little child who is sick and this little boy. We pray that whatever this may be, the stomach bug, the stomach flu that's causing him to be unable to eat. And Lord, we pray that you would alleviate the nausea, that they would be able to take in nourishment. Lord, we pray against any dehydration that might come from this. We pray that you would be able to just ease their stomach, calm their stomach so they can take in liquids and take in food and bring healing very quickly to this young child. And we pray this in your name. Amen. And someone just generically asking prayer for them and their family. Lord, we lift this family up to you. They're asking for prayer. You know their needs, Lord. You know the needs that they have. Lord, we pray that you would be gracious to meet every need. Lord, that you would meet every need in the fullness of your abundance. And Lord, that they would see your hand at work in their lives. Give glory to you, Lord, as you are working in them and through them. And we pray this in your name. Amen. All right, so here's one that came in. It says, over the weekend, a friend from basic training and another man were both murdered in Louisiana. They were in an apartment when another man just started shooting. The friend jumped in front of some of the others and took the bullet. He was in the National Guard. The suspect and the two killed were all 20 years old. The suspect was caught by police after stealing a car and attempting to flee the scene and hitting a tree. Lord, we do lift up this situation to you. We lift up these two men who are killed, their families. Lord, we pray for them. We pray for your comfort and peace upon them. Lord, even as we admire the bravery of this one man who threw himself in the front of the others, you know, your word says that greater love has no one than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. And here's a man who laid down his life to protect others, showing his love. May he be blessed for it. And may you bring blessing upon his family and upon the family of both these men who were killed. We pray for peace, for comfort, for strength, Lord, that they would turn to you and find that hope in the gospel, and that they would be encouraged and strengthened by you in the wake of this terrible, terrible tragedy. We would pray for this person who is apprehended. First of all, we thank you that the suspect was indeed apprehended and not permitted to harm anyone else. Lord, we pray for both justice and mercy. We lift this into your hands, knowing that you are wiser than we, and ask for your hand to be deliver both justice and mercy in this case. And we pray for this person who committed this heinous act, that their heart would be turned. Obviously, there's a dark heart there, that their heart would be turned to you. And they would be turned from wickedness and violence and evil and turned to repentance, and that they would embrace the gospel. And we pray this in your name. Amen. I want to check one thing, see if we got one more text coming in. Yes, one more. Someone asking for prayers for a couple of their friends who are struggling financially. Lord, we do lift this couple up to you that are struggling financially. Lord, you know the situation, the financial situation. We pray that you would help resolve that situation, help them be good and faithful stewards of what they have. And Lord, we pray that you would provide them what they need. As you make them faithful stewards of what they have, you would abundantly provide what they need as well. And Lord, that you would grant that provision, that they would not be worried or fearful, but Lord, in your provision, in your care, they would receive everything from good from your hand. And we pray this in your name. Amen. This has been the Prayer Closet. Remember, you can always get your prayer request to us by emailing or texting at prayer@yeshome.com. You can call our office during business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. As always, people will be happy to pray with you at 419-389-0893. And you can get connected to a live online spiritual coach for an online chat session by going to our website, yeshome.com, and clicking on the online chat button. That's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God bless everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow on the Prayer Closet.